Welcome to All About the Benefits. This show is dedicated to helping you better understand the world of benefits so that you can better serve those that serve you. And now, here's your host, Lori Jewett.
All right, you guys, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again. I am here with Jeremy, and I am not going to butcher your last name. I feel like I don't see anybody's names because I don't want to butcher them, but I'm not going to butcher your last name because I know I would. But super excited to have you because the intro that everybody just heard, you actually created specifically for me. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do and how to say your last name.
Perfect. I'll give it to you. Jeremy Schreifels. It's very German. So you would have got it right. I know you would have gotten it right. You're from the North. It's just kind of in you. Yeah, let's hit it with the intro since you all just heard it. That really is just like the epitome of what my passion is just bringing to life what's inside someone's brain. And I think that, Lori, those were actually your words that you gave me. Like, how did you get inside my brain and just pop it out? And here it is.
Pretty sure verbatim, that's what I said. Yeah. In like a couple of, it seemed like very quickly. It didn't take you long at all to get in and pick that out. And it's perfect.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you love it. And I hope you continue to love it. I think that for me, that's, like I said, that's my favorite part. And being a music producer for the last 15 years, that's what really feeds my heart and feeds my soul, is kind of bringing that to life, whether it's taking someone's ideas and thoughts and words like we did in this case and put them to some sort of sonic landscape is what I like to call them, because, you know, Sebastian's words are sitting on top of a landscape, or it's taking some songwriter or band's song where they begin from literally a lyric and a melody and transform it into something that we can hear on the radio, or in this case, stream it on your favorite streaming platforms. So that's been my life for the last 15 years between producing music that way and being a full-time drummer and doing live performances all over the US in varying capacities and with numerous bands, actually.
Yeah. And not only that, you are now a best-selling author. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that's recent. Book came out in March. It's called Road to 99. And really, it's a story about growth and perseverance and consistency. And I use it through the lens of a songwriter and a music producer. And the Road to 99 is technically about the road to writing 99 songs with my writing partner over the last 2 years. And it talks about our journey, but it gives kind of a picture into like, how do you start and begin something and just embrace that journey along the way, knowing that, you know, you're going to have curves in the road, you're going to have bumps in the road, you're going to have storms, you're going to have all of those things that kind of go along with that travel or journey. And just kind of gives you a different view on how to kind of work through those things. And since I'm used it as a songwriter producer lens, there are certainly things that are in there to help creatives think about their creative world differently, because we can get really stuck in our space. You all are listening, but Lori is actually seeing actually my actual recording studio, which is in my home. And so as you can see, you can, you know, this is where I spend a majority of my day. And I don't have the sunlight. I need to find a new studio space that I can actually have windows that I can have the sunlight in. That would be amazing. However, it's not always conducive to the best sound. So we have to think about that as well. So the book has been going amazing. It's been really a great conversation starter, which is really what I hoped it to be. And getting people to talk, whether it's getting people to talk about music or getting people to talk about their journey and or how they can use both to kind of figure out where they're headed next, whether it's in their business or in their life.
You know, and one thing that I've loved seeing about your book is, you know, we're Apex, you know, a lot of people in Apex write books, mm-hmm. but I see yours, people like posting pictures and tagging you in it, or you reshare, you know, sharing their posts of their books in front of like their music equipment, or I've seen it on like, whoops, sorry, my puppy just jumped and knocked stuff off. He's like, oh, we're recording? Cool, let me be involved. But you know, I've seen a lot more activity and people being, you know, taking pictures and sending them to you or tagging you in their post. And I think that's really cool because you're getting people excited, and not that nothing against anybody else's books, my own included. But I think it's really cool that you've gotten so much feedback and interaction through the whole process.
Yeah. And it's been really organic. And I think that that, and I talk about that a little bit in the book, because my career as a drummer was built on just networking and relationships and just meeting people and connecting with people. And so I just took that same approach to the book, like just meeting people and connecting people. I just released a song today, and by today recording is June 17th with another writer in Tampa, Florida, actually. And she has gone above and beyond, and now she has a Patreon account. So everybody who supports at a certain level on her Patreon account, they get a free copy of my book.
Very cool.
And then they also get a free copy, or not a free copy, a free pound of my coffee that I also make. And so it's like, that was just like, all of a sudden it showed up. She's like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm like, what? And beyond grateful. And it wasn't an ask, or honestly, it wasn't even something I ever thought about. And now I'm like, huh, how many more people can I reach out to? And
yeah,
they want to offer something to, as a fan base kind of idea, a tool or a book or coffee, which many of us love, to just be able to give away as kind of a value add, but giving so much more than that.
So I just actually just learned about your coffee maybe a week or so ago. So tell me about that. How did you get into coffee?
Well, I am an extremely avid coffee addict. And by that, I mean, I drink a lot of coffee, but I drink it because I like it. I love the taste of it. I drink coffee and water all day. That's pretty much it. And so I just love the taste of it. And a friend of mine in Little Falls, Minnesota, owns a roastery. And so I just started talking to him. I'm like, hey, and they do a lot of wholesale and they work with a lot of coffee shops and those kinds of places. And I'm just like, hey, do you think I could ever make my own blend? Like, what would that be like? And he's like, oh, yeah, let's just do it. Okay. So it started out just A, as a joke, B, as a way to, well, I'm already buying coffee anyway, so why wouldn't I buy coffee, A, that I like, and then I could put my name on? And so that's what I did. And that's what it just started out as. So it's called Producer Blend. And it's just the idea of like producing every day. Wake up and do the thing every day. Just like waking up and drinking coffee in the morning. Tastes good. It's just kind of nice and light and easy. It's never something I pushed. People are just starting to find out about it. And it's literally that same kind of organic thing, because I'm just literally telling people about it, or like yourself probably just found out about it because somebody posted a picture of it and like, hey, here's coffee.
And yeah, I think
that's all I want, because I'm,
I think it was a picture of the coffee in the book.
Coffee. Yep. Yeah. So this was probably actually Deborah, as one of the people, and they keep kind of posting. Well, you've seen the picture, but I have the pounds of them right in my office all the time.
Nice.
Which is really good because they smell really good in here.
See, I love the smell of coffee. I'm gonna have to order yours or figure out how to order it so we can we'll make sure we put that in the bio as well, or description. But I went years without caffeine. So I was addicted to Monsters, like big time.
Oh yes.
Like my doctor was kind of afraid I was gonna have a heart attack in my mid-30s. So I was at like between 4 and 6 a day. I have a very addictive personality. And when I get into something, it's just, ooh, it tastes good. I need more, no matter what it is, whether it's like recording the podcast, I'm having so much fun with this, or writing the book. Once I get into that, I get addicted to it. But so I went several years with no caffeine. And then, you know, a friend of ours from Apex came out with his coffee, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to order it to support him. And I'm very addicted. And he actually pointed out to me at MDM. I said, yeah, so I probably had like 3 cups of coffee. He's like, you can't do that because it's a very high caffeine content. And he's like, absolutely not. No. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's really hard for me to minimize it. So I have to order yours and go back and forth. But
yeah. You know, this one I made with like the like kind of regular coffee drinker in mind. So it's like a medium roast, So it's not super high caffeine, but it's not super dark. And it's just kind of really smooth and easy to drink.
Oh yeah, 220 milligrams. Is that a lot?
Yeah. I don't know how much. I don't have a label on this one, but I'll find out. It's not that much.
Yeah, in 8 ounces, and I can't do 8 ounces. I make them in these big, you guys can't see, but I think these are like 16 ounce cups.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I should go back to no caffeine, but I'm really enjoying it. And as weird as it sounds, I'm sleeping a little bit better. I still don't sleep well, but I'm sleeping a little bit better with it. So I will definitely have to order some ears and drop the link. So one thing I definitely want to talk about, I don't want to run out of time before I get to this, but you are a motivator. You're no matter what, like, I mean, you're repping, nobody can see it because we're, you know, audio only, but you're repping the Handle It gear right now, which is a mutual Apex friend.
Yep.
So, you know, not only that, and I do the same thing. I mean, I've got all my Apex books and everything behind me. Of course, yours I've been reading. So it's sitting on my bedside table. I don't have it to hold up. Anyways, you know, no matter what it is that someone is doing or, you know, accomplishing, you're always one of the first people that is just motivating, you know, just inspiring those people. And then with me, I don't know how you knew that I was like riding the struggle bus when it came to the book, but you reached out to me today and asked how the book was going. And I'm like, I told Dean, I'm like, oh, I hate having accountability partners.
Well, for the record, we didn't sign up to be accountability partners, but I genuinely care about people. And I think connecting with people and making sure that their voices are heard are important. That's important to me. Mostly because I've spent 15 years being a drummer, and my sole job is to make everybody else look and feel good. That's my job as a drummer, is to make everybody in front of me look and feel good. Because if they look and feel good, the crowd, they love it. And so I just bring that into everything else that I do. Like, I just want you to feel good. I want you to, your business to look good, or whatever your product is, to shine and look good. And however I can support that, I will. Because I think that's important. And it's that go-giver mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And then that gives me opportunities to connect people, which is how we connected, and then connecting you with somebody to help you with your book. And then there was an end around for me to help be able to help you with your podcast intro. And so at the end of the day, you got the best product possible for your podcast. You're going to get your best product possible for your book, however that plays out. And then I just keep those things in mind. Like, oh, I haven't seen any, Lori hasn't posted anything about her book lately. It's time to ask.
And I think it's really cool because I know I'm not the only person you do that with. And you really did. You put a fire under me because I'm like, oh, you know, you think about that. I guess I didn't think about that until you reached out. But then when I saw that, I'm like, oh, wait, there's people watching me. And it kind of gives me a layer of accountability that, all right, get your shit together. Like, stop procrastinating, because I have been putting it off. And I know it's driving Hillary crazy, but she knew that the premise of my book was ADHD. So I feel like I told her the other day, I'm like, you knew what you were getting into. Just saying.
She is amazing. And I can tell you, she has an amazing amount of grace and patience, because she had to deal with a musician. So she knows a thing or two. But when you talk about that idea of accountability partner, I was just on a conversation with somebody a couple of days ago. And their comment to me was, trust me, I've been watching you for a while. And I'm like, to me, like, that says, okay, A, thank goodness people are watching and paying attention. Also, like yourself. So thank you. But also to me, that says, continue to just keep doing the right thing and continue to just support people and be there for people. And then however that plays out is just great, because ultimately everybody gets better.
Yeah. And it's nice to know, to get that reminder, like you said, that, oh, I've been watching you. And, you know, I posted, anytime I post anything on Facebook, somebody that I didn't realize was watching will comment. There's always like a new comment or like that. I'm like, oh crap, I didn't even know they knew who I was. Yes. I can't remember who it was yesterday, but somebody yesterday liked or commented on something. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let me not mess up. Let me keep, you know, stay consistent. And I've, you know, been part of Apex for what, going on 14 months now, and I dropped the ball for 13 months. I did not do what I needed to do. I did, but I took ownership. I didn't blame anybody else. It was 100% on me. And now it's like, honestly, overnight at MDM, when I made up my mind, okay, I'm done procrastinating. I'm going to do this because I know that I can help people, whether it's with, you know, my actual career or just motivating and inspiring people, because, you know, you're a musician, you have coffee, you have all these other things that you do, but you just being there is inspiring and helping people and keeping people going. And that's kind of when I realized, oh crap, as long as I continue to do this, I can help people, some people that I don't even know that I'm helping, right?
Yeah. I noticed that about 10 years ago. And this, of course, was way before I entered in to, you know, to the Apex Network and those people and thinking in that mindset. Because I would post things all the time as a drummer and, you know, as, you know, you continue to do those things. And what I figured out was people were watching. Because it could be 6-8 months down the road and people were like, hey, I saw that you were just in Texas, or, oh, you were out in Portland, Oregon. How was that? And I'm like, that was like 5 months ago. I'm like, so it made me realize people do watch and people do care. It made me make sure that what I'm posting and what I'm saying matters and is good and is of value. And then I just amped that up when I came into this network in this space, because that's how these people, this is the level that all of these people are operating at. And so I needed to also operate that level and provide that value. And I think it's really just, it's those connections. It's the relationships. It's just saying, hey, how's that book going? That's not me saying like, why isn't it done? Mm-hmm. Some people would take that as like, well, why isn't your book done? Well, because I haven't finished it yet, you know, but if I can say, hey, how's that book going? I'm also saying, is there any way that I can support you? Like, mm-hmm. It, even if it is just saying, I'm asking you, you know, we haven't talked about benefits at all, which is kind of what your business is and the podcast piece of it. But that I think is a benefit. If you can be that benefit for someone or your staff or somebody, just providing them that piece of something positive. I think sometimes people think positive is just like, oh, I need to shower them with all these good things and all. Just show up for that person. I was literally talking to somebody literally 4 hours ago that I was just like, she's just like, I can't believe I just come to you all the time and I just dump all my junk on you. And you just are constantly like, yep, it's cool. Let's get through it. We'll make it through. And then we'll be ready for next time. And she's like, well, you just, this is all I do is, I'm like, okay, I got big shoulders. If you got a place to dump it, that means it's not in here anymore. You can move on from that. So just being that person for somebody is always great, but provide that value continually is, I think, what the most important part is.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like I posted on Facebook this morning, I tagged you and several other people that I've done business with. I don't know that any of y'all like really asked for my business. I mean, I think you maybe said, reach out about the podcast intro, I can help. And it was just okay, let's do it. You know, everybody that I've worked with, I nobody's really had to pitch me or hard sell me because of the value. Because like you said, that's where everybody's operating at that level of value, value, value. So, you know, you see somebody posting things, you see these books being released and it's like, oh, I definitely want to do business with that person. So you're absolutely right. If you can be of any benefit, it's absolutely a benefit of other people by either providing your value or just checking in. Like, I'm not going to lie. Whenever I saw your Facebook message, I didn't click on it because I didn't want you to see that I read it while I was internally trying to figure out how I was going to respond. Cause I'm like, well, so there was the distraction and the excuses. And of course I have the Apex FYE tattoo on my wrist and I'm looking at that like, dang it. But
we all have it.
It is a huge benefit just reaching out and, you know, checking in on people. But so I don't want to run out of time before I have a list of not necessarily questions, but like just topics written down that I did want to talk to you about. So
yes.
What was it like? And I'm sure you get this question a lot, but being a musician in, you know, March of 2020 and the following, well, until recently, I guess.
It was awful. Going into the March of 2020, it was slotted to be like the best year of my music career ever. I was going to be flying all over the US, playing all of these shows. And literally, I was going to have the best year of my career. And in 2 days, it was gone, like literally gone. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then I had a few things that popped in. I had a local church call here and say, hey, we need a drummer for like 10 weeks and we can only have one. Will you be the one? Yes. Yes, I'll be the one because I don't have a job. And so that became the thing. And then because about two years prior to that all happening, I built my studio to work with people remotely because it's in my home and I respect my home and my family. I didn't want tons of people coming in here because it's not a commercial space. It's my home. Mm-hmm. And so I built a network of people across the US to work with. And so I was already doing that, but there was lots of hesitancy from people because they want, you know, musicians are like, they're old school. They want the traditional experience. They want to go into a studio. They want to have all of these things. And I was like, well, we can do it different. I want to do it different. Well, after March of 2020 hit, like nobody could do any of those things. So the only way they could do it was through technology and through networking and through all of those things. So I started doing collaborations with people in Toronto, Los Angeles, Nashville, the Dominican Republic, Colombia, people like all over the place. And these are all just connections that I made, whether it was through networks or social media or those kinds of things, because we could just collaborate. And then we send files back and forth, and then one of us owns a space, and then we can release it. So I've literally, since March of 2020, been releasing a minimum of 1 to 2 songs every single month.
Wow.
That's... on a digital platform. So
you were way ahead of the game though, like, which is super cool. So when everybody else was freaking out, trying to get microphones and learn how to do everything virtually, you were so far ahead of all of us.
I was already doing it. So yeah. I was like, oh, this is easy. And then, so that was great. And then now 2 years later, everybody else has figured out how to also do that. So my business took a little bit of a dip, which is okay. It gave me a chance to rethink and retool. And then I met a really great person, Danny, and we have now partnered up to be able to do podcast intros and do audiobooks and bring a synergy of our two energies and our two worlds together, because I have a team of audio people and him and his team of people who have been doing what he's been doing for the last 25 years. I'm like, we provide an experience that really nobody else can provide because they don't have that team.
And I would like pretty much do anything in the world to work with him because he's the most fun person.
He's so
like
great
all the time. His energy is just, can even pictures like convey his energy. I'm like, how do you do that?
It's just him. Like, that's just his character. I love it. So, I mean, I'm honored for one. And that was literally because he was editing the podcast of an interview that I was on.
That's awesome.
It was one of his clients. And then he called me after. He's like, I just listened to this podcast of yours. We need to talk. And I was like, yes, let's. And here we are.
And all you did is bring value, and that organically came to you. So I feel like we're circling back to the value and organically bringing things your way.
Yes.
That is. So, you know, the recording and things like that, you'd already kind of gotten ahead of the game on that. But as far as, because I know you post pictures all the time of playing publicly. So you're back playing live.
Yes. Yep. Okay. I'm back to playing live. Probably I'm not at the level that I was prior to the pandemic, but I won't be either, mostly because my business model is looking different now. Mm-hmm. And so that will be less, but it will never go away because it's like, it's a piece of my heart and that's who I am. And it brings me life. And that is another piece, you know, for a long time when people actually got mad at me because I posted so many like positive sayings and quotes or motivational things. I'm like, well, you want to know what? 80% of the time, it's for me. I'm posting it for me. And if one other person can benefit from that, hallelujah, that's a win. And because when I'm behind the kit, I'm just trying to find someone in the room, one person to change. How can I affect them? Whether it's going from them like smiling, hunched over at their table, to sitting up and maybe even having a smile. And that might take 4 hours, but it gives me something to do And I can be like, okay, I know that I had an effect on that person. And that is going to make them better when they go home. Regardless of whatever venue you were at, whether it was a festival or a bar, or this week I'm doing a theater gig in a big Ted Mann concert hall in Minneapolis at the University of Minnesota. It's like a big chorus Broadway kind of production. It's fantastic. And it's like, I get to hang out in a pit with my friends. Like, you guys, I get paid to do this.
And that's what, isn't that what we dream of as kids? Like, we have things that we love, and to get, you know, truth be told, whenever I was in like middle school, I decided I wanted to play the drums. I did not get picked to play the drums because everybody apparently in middle school band wants to play the drums. I got put on trumpet and I sucked. I was the worst. The only song I ever really mastered, quote unquote, is that Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
Right.
The super easy, like two little, I don't even know what they're called anymore, but you know, that at that time, and maybe it's different now, but everybody wanted to be the drummer, and obviously they only had certain spots and it was not in my cards. And I have no balance, no grace. So I would have been the one that would like fall off the stool trying to be fancy. So, but it is super cool that you get to, you know, make a living doing what you love.
Right.
And I think that's what that's really all that most people can hope for. You know, that's what my daughter, she's 15. That's what she's trying to do. She's joined Robert Nelson and Adam Miller in the Apex Young Entrepreneur Group.
Awesome.
And she wants to be a horse trainer. That is her primary goal. And she already has it worked out in her head. And a cousin of mine actually owns a horse business in Georgia. And so she's mentoring her and kind of helping her through, because you got to deal with licensing and insurance. And yes, I know insurance. I don't know anything about equestrian liability insurance. I have no clue even where to start with that. Right. But that is all that I can hope for her, is that she is able to make a career in what she loves. And so she's decided to start out with, you know, she doesn't like kids, which is probably because she's an only child. She's like, all right, well, I guess I have to start giving kids lessons so I can learn that part of it before I start with the horses. And she's like, but I'm going to limit it to like 3 hours a day max with kids, and which cracks me up, because she's very much like her father, who we agreed on one child because he didn't like kids. And of course he worships the ground she walks on and whatever, but her being able to, you know, build a career in something, I don't know what I would have done. I love what I do now, but obviously who dreams of owning an insurance agency? Maybe somebody, I don't know, but, I didn't. I was going to be a backup dancer for Janet Jackson. And again, if I wasn't clear, I have no balance. I can't walk without falling over. So, anyway, all that to say, it's super cool that you're able to do what you love. You know, normally I ask people, you know, what does the word benefit mean to you? But you already covered that. So thank you. I love that.
You're welcome.
Can I work that in? I was talking to Steve Gamlin yesterday and I completely forgot to ask him that. So I'm going to try and figure out how to like get Sebastian to crop two audio thingies together.
He can do it.
Well, my husband, he's like, even I can help you do that. And I'm like, I don't trust us to do that. I'm afraid we'll end up deleting all the files. But you know what? You do a lot of things. You juggle a lot of awesome things and are able to, you know, keep that balance. So what advice do you have for people that want to not just have one venture, but be able to, you know, kind of spread their time across several things?
I would say the time blocking has probably been the one big thing for me that's been helpful. And even one step beyond that is make sure that you block time for yourself and block time for the things that matter to you, and then work everything else around it. For 5 years, everything I did from 3 p.m. on was only kid or family related, because I picked my kids up from school every day. And I didn't care what happened after 3 p.m. because that was that time. And now that time I have all teenagers and they're driving and they do their own things. And so I don't have that responsibility anymore, which I miss. So now I just shifted things to a different part of the day or how that looks. But I think a really important thing is the self-care piece and making sure you're taking care of you, whether that's you like going to a conference or going to an event like an MDM or just taking like a 20 minute nap in the afternoon. I mean, I go from like 5 a.m. to 10, 11 p.m. every day. And so just taking that time to give yourself a break and step out of all of the things so that whatever the thing is that you step into next, you can be ready for. I think that's super important.
That's absolutely great advice. And that's something that I'm learning. I'm getting better at the time blocking, but my time is so spread out. I have virtual things. I have in-person things. I have stuff all across the state of Michigan. And so I'm learning about the time blocking, and I tried really hard to just block out certain times of the week to do podcast interviews, and I've got it all messed up, but it's fine. I'm getting better. I'm learning as I go and correcting that time blocking.
Right. And I don't think don't misperceive it as like there's the perfect system or whatever you're going to start with is going to be the end. It's not. It's not. But you have to start somewhere. Like, you're starting by trying and figuring out, okay, you're going to hit a space where you're going to be like, okay, this is where it's going to settle in at. And if you were a drummer, I'd say like, you're just going to settle into the pocket. You're going to settle into where it feels really good and you're moving along, you're making forward progress. If you hit some bumps along the road, it's not a big deal because it's just going to keep going and flowing. Mm-hmm. But you just have to try something. I'm not perfect at it. I know what things work really well for me. And as I have new things come in, I'm like, okay, well, this new thing came in. What goes away? How do I get stuff off the plate? I spend more time trying to figure out how to get stuff off my plate because there's plenty coming in.
Yeah. And that's something that I am just now learning, because I have this bad habit of taking things off of other people's plates. And I now have a virtual assistant that is doing that for me. Like, I don't even realize she's doing it, but next thing I know, she's has this and she's got my login for this. And I'm like, oh crap. So I can do more things.
Yes.
Because she is sitting still all day. She's not in a car and then, you know, in an enrollment and with clients. So this is a first for me of having somebody else take things off my plate. I very much enjoy that.
Well, congratulations. Way to go.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a big step because I kind of like to hold on to things. And I was telling somebody the other day, I don't remember who it was, but I get it. It was like arrogance, cockiness, whatever you want to call it, but I'm the only one that can do these things. Nobody else can handle that and do it as well as I can. Well, you know what? Sarah does it better than I did. So there's that.
Right. It's interesting when we allow ourselves to let go of that.
Yeah.
Because we want that control, right? Because we're business owners and we've always held on to everything. My wife is an executive director of a nonprofit mental health agency. Awesome. And so they're getting so busy, and for so long it was all her. And then I'm like, well, now it's okay to pass some of those things off because there's plenty on your plate. If you think I am busy and have things going on, most of the time she makes me look like I'm standing still.
Really?
So it's crazy in a good way, because the things she does are amazing and impactful. Because it's kids and it's mental health and it's a big deal.
And incredibly important, and probably even more so important over the last couple of years with the craziness. And
yeah, they opened their agency March 13th of 2020.
Oh, wow. Perfect timing though, for to be able to help people, because
yes and no.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's super awesome that you guys both are in, you know, fields that it sounds like you love and are passionate about and are helping people, because that passes on to your kids, right? They see that. They see that their parents are passionate about what they do and that they're making a difference in the world, and it makes them want to make a difference.
Yeah. One thing that I took out, that was about 7-8 years ago, I was super heavy into touring. I was doing like about 120 shows a year. And so it was pretty much 49 weekends out of the year I was gone. Whew. And so it was a lot, and it, you know, but like, so I never saw my family mostly on the weekends, and you miss all the birthday parties and you miss all of the things, or you just, it looks different. And people are like, well, how can you do that to your family? I'm like, well, I can guarantee you I spend more time with my kids than most dads, because every day for 12 years, I picked my kids up from school. So from 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday, I spent with them. Mm-hmm. And when they were littler, before they were in school, I spent most of all of the day with them. And then I could travel on the weekend. And so, and the other thing that you teach them by doing that, sorry, is if you're going to follow your dream, it takes work. Mm-hmm. And you have to do the work. And now they see the things I get to do because of the work that I did back then. And they're like, I can't believe the things that you get to do, Dad. I'm like, I know. Me either, most days. But it's because I did all that work back there. I said, and is it worth it now? They're like, well, yeah. I said, isn't it great to enjoy all of the things that have we've been able to do or accomplish because of, I was a family because of that? And they're like, yes. I said, you can do that too.
Yeah. And that, you know, that it's funny that you bring that up because with Taya, you know, she's 15 now and she understands more, but her whole life, she's been on, you know, going on tropical vacations. And we were with an insurance company. One of the things that insurance is known for is the fun trips, work hard, play hard. Right.
Right.
And so she's grown up going to Jamaica and Dominican Republic and all of these places. So we don't feel so guilty for the late nights. You know, we moved to Michigan to open this agency, and when we first got here, there were, you know, days that we left before she got up. My in-laws, you know, thankfully are right across the street and are very, very helpful. But, you know, then we wouldn't get home until bedtime. But on the weekends, we would see her. And then once every, it seemed like at that time, once every, you know, 3 months, we had a week in a tropical location. So she saw that. She saw the payoff of the hard work. So,
right.
And it's, I mean, I think it's important for kids to see that, not just see the easy part. You know, who was, I think it was Kevin Hart that I saw speak a couple of years ago. Actually, you know what? It was February of 2020. End of February. But in one of the things he said, and his kids, you know, they go to the amusement parks and whatever, and they get to the front of the line, and his kids were going without him one day. And they were like, hey Dad, can you call ahead and you get his passes or whatever it was? And he was like, no, that was my work. I earned that. When you go on your own, you sit in the line until you do the work and earn it for yourself. You know, when you're with me, they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for me. And you just get to enjoy the rewards. And I'm like, I love that message, right? Like,
that's a fantastic message. And I think it's about that intentionality. It's the why. Why are you doing that work? Okay, well, I'm showing you that because I did this, we get to do this. However that plays out, you know, tropical vacations or what have you, tickets at the amusement park. It doesn't matter, but you're showing them that you were intentional about this. And this is what happened as the win from that.
Yeah. So, well, I won't keep you much longer. I've already gone over our time, but I'm super excited to have you. And you were one of the very first people that I reached out to about being on, because your episode on Hillary's podcast just was amazing. And I think it was actually the first episode of her podcast I listened to before, when I got like super obsessed and like binged hers.
It's easy to do that with hers. I do that because I'm on the road a lot. And so that just, you just hit, keep hitting next. It's great.
And it's super motivating too, because it's inspiring. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not the only one that had this block or that block or whatever. Yes. It is.
I think that's the best part. You know, it's like, we're none of us are alone.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you've reminded me of that by just reaching out, you know, how's it going? So I appreciate that. But so where can people find you? Where's the best way for everybody to find you?
I hang out probably mostly on the Instagram and Facebook spaces. So you can search my name, Jeremy Schreifels. You will find me. Roadto99.com is another place you can reach out to me and grab your copy of the book. If you're interested in coffee, if you go to artisanjcoffee.com, you can pick up your pound of coffee and all of those fun things.
I'm writing this down so I don't forget to put it on there.
No worries. I'll send you whatever you need.
Yeah. Any links that you want, if you could, that would be super helpful. So I don't have any typos or anything, but yeah, any links that you want in there.
You know, I will send you my press kit link and then you'll have everything.
Awesome. Perfect. So, well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I hope you, are you playing somewhere this weekend or?
Yep. I have that theater gig this weekend. So I'll leave here in like 2 hours and I have a show tonight and show tomorrow night. So.
Well, have a blast and I know you're going to kill it and I appreciate your time. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lori. It was awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of All About the Benefits. Be sure to appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show. This way you'll get notifications as new episodes become available. Until next time, friends.